So I'd like to talk about restlessness, sort of counter to dullness. Body awareness is really important in understanding yourself, because the body has a kind of, it's like a biofeedback system that tells you what's going on. Thought isn't very good oftentimes. Like you can maybe feeling quite down, and your mind might just be putting you down even more. You know, maybe you, like let's say, you insulted a friend last week. You were tired, and you called your friend an idiot or something unpleasant like that. And then you sit here, and that feeling comes up into consciousness. And then what your mind might do is just hate yourself for it, right? You know, how could I do that? But it shouldn't be like that. So very often you can't trust thought. Very often thought's a liar. Too often thought's a liar. Because it can be imbued with a strong sense of self, sakkaya ditti, self-aversion, self-judgment, overly critical attitude to things, infatuation, all kinds of ways. So if one isn't aware of where these thoughts are coming from, then they can be very misleading. And so things like self-disparagement can seem so real, and yet they're just bad habits, really. So as I was, I think Sunday, one day I was saying that a very good friend of mine does not believe in his personality. He does not trust his personality. He does not trust that kind of thinking, which is his personality. He knows it as an object. So the body, well, the body is actually, it can't lie, it is as it is. Tension is as it is, right? And so when the body, if you have a good body awareness, then if there's a manifestation of some memory, like let's some memory comes up of having hurt someone, you have this memory comes up. If you go into thought, you can just keep perpetuating. But if you go to the body and feel, oh, hurt is like this, remorse is like this, and then you can say things like, may I be free from suffering. Then you process that and you liberate that. But if you keep it in thought, it just, it oftentimes doesn't really get, you don't really let go of it. You just kind of recondition it into consciousness. So body awareness is tremendously important. So this morning I was just suggesting that to try to become really aware of this area, the heart chakra, that this is a very important part of your system of information and knowing and understanding. So all of us, when we feel compassion or empathy, you know, you feel it there, don't you? If someone is in trouble and you're present to the person, there's an opening there. And vice versa, if you're afraid or shy or fearful or critical, you also feel it in the heart and in the guts. So just having awareness there gives you a certain kind of understanding of life. It's not intellectual, it's visceral, it's very immediate. So this is very, very helpful. So with what we did just now in the previous sitting, well, I was suggesting a way of energizing with posture and with breath. And that's a very vigorous kind of thing to do. And notice if one's feeling lazy or dull, you just won't want to do it. Because that's what laziness and dullness are. I just don't want to do it. I've noticed that when I give instruction for dullness meditation, when I give instruction around the hindrance of dullness, often the people that are dull continue to sleep and everyone else is getting energized. So there's a kind of disinterest, because sometimes in life you just want to wipe it out, you just don't want that energy. So like these things are like these practices of like breathing into the heart, taking a deep breath, feeling the body, they all make you very conscious of the energy system which is in the body. And that's very helpful, it's very insightful. You can really understand yourself in ways which are very edifying. So restlessness, I think, restlessness, typically it comes up when you feel, when you feel pain. Right? So part of a retreat, unfortunately, is you have a lot of physical discomfort, right? I mean, that's just a given. I'd like to do it some other way, but I don't know how. So I get discomfort. Like, so I've got a pinched nerve. You know, as you get older, you develop these places. So I got this pinched nerve right here in the joint. So when I sit down, I think, as soon as that pinched nerve comes out, I'm like, oh no, it's only 5 minutes into the sitting. And I got to be here, I can't get out, you're looking at me. No, I don't think that. But so then, as an example, so there's that. Now I can move, I can get up, I can sit on a chair, that's fine. You know, I'm not saying you have to just do some kind of marine thing on it and grunt and bear it out or something. But having decided, well, I think I'll just sit here and make that part of my meditation. So you have to make that decision that this discomfort is a part of the meditation. If you just sort of try to ignore it, it'll just keep coming back. So you make a decision, I'm going to stay in this posture. It's not for a lifetime, right? It's not life-threatening. You can bear with it. And then if you need to move or move to a different position, fine. But having made a decision, then you start to just like the very feeling of discomfort, what happens is you start to anticipate it. You start to kind of think, how long will I last? You start to think, when can I move? You think, 40 minutes more? You know, this. So the mind starts to get restless, because it's reacting to the pain, the discomfort, right? It starts to get restless. And that's what pain does, because pain is a natural symptom of having, you know, move away from it. It's a protective thing. It's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with it. But not being able to be with a certain amount of discomfort in meditation means you always be restless. So you have to learn about that. So you take a kind of discomfort which you know isn't going to hurt you. So my body, I've had two arthroscopies, and I know a certain kind of pain in my left knee, inside here, as soon as it starts, I move. Because I knew if I don't, I'm going to be limping for an hour. But there's other kinds of discomforts and pain, which I know is just part of being a body. And those that I try to be more clear. No, I'll sit with this now, to make it quite clear. And then I try to watch the interrelationship between restlessness and discomfort. And obviously when there's discomfort, there's the desire to get rid of the discomfort. That's nature. So that desire then creates restlessness. So what I use is I use the end of the out-breath and I use the feelings in my hands. So I find that when there's pain and discomfort, the out-breath doesn't want to go all the way out. There's a kind of anticipation. The restlessness creates a kind of anticipation. So I use the end of the out-breath to really follow the end of the out-breath, really just try to be with the end of the out-breath and just really relax my hands and keep my hands relaxed on the in-breath. That's what I do. But what it indicates is me trying to be relaxed in the body or understand what a relaxed body is when it's trying to get, you know, when it's restless, when it's tense, when it doesn't want this particular situation. So then what happens is the tendency then to get tense around that part of the body that relaxes. It relaxes, right? And if I have to move, I move. So I've figured out a way for me. It's very simple. I know where restlessness is, I know it feels. Very simple, the end of the out-breath and the feeling in my hands. So it's a very simple thing. It's very concrete, it's in the body, and it's been learned. So that's what I mean, a part of the craft. You know, the craft of cultivating the mind, the craft of cooking, the craft of carpentry, the craft of sewing. These are all skills that we learn. And so in the same way, restlessness is one of the classic hindrances we talk about in meditation. So in terms of energy, we talk about restlessness and dullness. And those two, one has to figure out how they manifest and how they keep the mind from being peaceful. One is just, you just lose it, and the other is you keep fidgeting, grossly speaking. So I would suggest that first of all, you learn how to diagnose what's going on. Not through a lot of analysis, but just recognize, oh, this is restlessness. Sometimes you don't have a label for it, but just this is what it feels like. And then go to a suggestion and use the body as a way of understanding that. You can understand fear through the body. You can understand anger through the body, can't you? It manifests through the body rather than just through thinking all the time. The end of the out-breath is very, very kind of interesting place in the breath cycle, because it's also quite often where the mind wanders. The end of the out-breath is where you can really relax, and when you relax, then quite often that's where people fall asleep, where the mind wanders sometimes. So to use the end of the out-breath as the place of practicing this kind of listening, attentive quality. End of the out-breath. And then the hands, end of the out-breath, in the belly, I like to use the belly. What is that like? And just waiting for the next in-breath to come. So it's a kind of interesting way of exploring. And then within that, you see the body getting tense with restlessness. That's the suggestion. It is a kind of experiment, so let's try that now and just see if that's of any use. Stretch your legs a bit and we'll sit for a while. The same pattern then, awakening, listening. So use listening to start. And contemplate this attitude of being receptive, letting things come to you. Notice the end of thought, state of no thought. Good to introduce the attitude of kindness. So with an in-breath, may I be well. An out-breath, may I be free. Just a kind of simple well-wishing with the breath. So you can use just simple physical things to establish awareness. So say the feeling of the breeze coming through the windows. I don't know if you can feel it. Feeling of the warmth or coolness. So establishing awareness, establishing the attitude of kindness. May I be well. May I be free. And then bring attention to the breath cycle. Now pay attention to the end of the out-breath. And see if you can establish that listening quality at the end of the out-breath. And let the in-breath come. Feel the hands as you breathe in. So there's no tension on the in-breath. So the suggestion then is if you start to feel discomfort, then explore the end of the out-breath, beginning of the in-breath. Explore that in a way of watching the tension. And just be very patient, end of the out-breath. All right, so let's just be with the breath cycle, one breath at a time.